Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, brother. This is KSK Radio Station. This is Apostle Willie Hunter of Houston, Texas. Let the Lord bless you tonight. Let the Lord bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a great this what God's going to do. We're going to hear from David Allen, who is one who blows the shofar, and God's going to bless him with a great, great episode of what God would have us to know as believers. We're in the war fighting for the truth. We refuse to give in. We refuse to give in. Nobody but God can make it so. God is possible. God is right here, right now. Hallelujah. Go ahead, my brother.
Brother Willie?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Awesome. Awesome. Go right ahead.
Well, we praise God. We give God all the glory. We've had great freedom today at the Pride Festival, and with the Pride Parade about to begin, we've just been given full liberty in the rotunda of the Capitol Building in Austin, Texas, the sound of shofar. To sound liberty throughout all the land, and to all the inhabitants thereof. The great darkness over our land in this day is being dispersed. The evil, the abortion, the perversion that have taken over our land are falling. The truth of God is taking over. No longer will we abort our babies, and no longer will we teach them perversion. No longer will a man lie with a man. But God's law will be known throughout America, and America will once again stand on the stone, the rock, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God for his mercy. Praise God for his endless compassion. Praise God for his word. Praise God for his truth. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your blood on the cross of Calvary. Thank you that you died for our sin, the sin of all men, of all time, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank you for the trumpet sound of victory, Lord God. Thank you for the cry of the Lion of Judah, Lord God. Thank you for the trumpet that we are going to hear, that we are your children. We are the heirs of the King of the universe. We are his children. We are his bride. Oh, Father, thank you so much for washing us and restoring us and renewing us in the name, above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, mighty Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, Father, thank you so much. Praise you, praise you.
Thank you. Praise you, Father. Praise you. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak, brother, speak.
Well, Brother Willie, we're walking now across the lawn of the Capitol building, headed back to our car. It's been a long day for us. We've been on the sun since about 10 a.m. this morning, and have come under some attack. But you know what? We were just covered by the blood, protected by the hand of God as we preached right at the entrance of the Pride Festival here in Austin, Texas. It was a great victory. Oh, a great victory. And many attacks came upon us, but God brought us all safely to them. Only three of us showed up. There were a number of street preachers planning to be there, and God orchestrated it such that it was just three. It was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just three. Robert and I and Rick. It was Rick Ellis and Robert Gomez and David Allen with a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of this day. And we stood out in the furnace, and when we finished, a woman came by and used her keys to attack Rick. And at the same time, there was a storm front moving through, breaking that heat. The storm blew through, a high wind, a few raindrops, and all of a sudden the temperature dropped, and it was a little cooler, and the clouds came over. And so at the end of our day, God just moved with the wind to refresh us and restore us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We are in a jubilee time. You have to understand that this is the 50th year since Martin Luther King was used by God in his faithfulness and his tenacity and his firm belief that segregation was wrong and segregation opposed the laws of God. And because of the faithfulness of one man and the freedom riders that joined him, and they were all beaten and arrested and mistreated and ridiculed, and the black pastors and the white pastors told them to be quiet. They said, "Martin, shut up, you're rocking the boat." But Martin was faithful. He was faithful because he knew that he was in the arms of God. He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. He knew what the word of God said.
Yes.
And they did just that. And God turned in Birmingham when they turned the fire hoses on the children and they released the dogs on the people. And even after they held Martin Luther King in the Birmingham jail, and he wrote to all those pastors with the letter from the Birmingham jail. Oh, that was 50 years ago. As a matter of fact, almost 50 years ago, he gave this speech on the mall in Washington and told America of his dream. God gave him that dream. God completed that dream. And God was that dream. And so today,
Amen.
Our country again is overcome in a great darkness of perversion. Our Supreme Court has once again told us that abortion is okay. Our Supreme Court has told us that perversion is okay. And America has taken 60 billion of its babies. And America today is even giving its children unto perversion. And we're talking about diversity and celebrating all this evil against the God's design of one man and one woman. But God will prevail. God's law is what it is. What God created, God intended. What God what exists is what God intended. It's what he created. And when he got done creating it, he said it is good. And so we don't want to change it one iota. We want it back, Lord God. We want your design back. We're tired of politicians that we don't know taking us places that we don't want to go. Jesus Christ, you have it again. You have it once again. You be the king of our nation. I pray, Jesus, this day in your precious, precious, holy, blessed name.
Amen. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. God has been so good to you today. He's blessed you. He brought the word over the airways throughout the nation. And I want to thank God. And if God has more for you to do, I'm standing in your corner knowing that our God is an awesome God. There is no God like our God. We keep saying him. One thing we keep saying, we praise him, we love him, we adore him, we magnify him, we lift him up, we let it be known that there's none like him. He's the only God from the rising of the sun until the setting of the sun. He's still God. And you know, I thank God for what God is doing to me. I mean, can you just believe that 3-4 years ago?
Wait.
David and I were doing a great work for the Lord. Here the Lord doing a better work. See, we call good, better, good. God is awesome because he's who he is, who he say he is, and he cannot change. You know, as I was studying about the angels, and I was reading the book, David, in Psalm 91, how that David submitted his will to God, and he realized what he'd done wrong. Perhaps we can get some people over the radio station to know, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. If you don't repent, Get your soul saved. You're on your way to hell. I don't care if you're the president. I don't care if you're a senator. I don't care if you're a representative. I don't care if you're the governor. I don't care if you're a sinner, you're a preacher, or the fivefold. Unless you accept Jesus Christ and what he done for you, you will not be able to come before the kingdom of kings, because the first resurrection was all the power of you. And David, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. You got a new word for us. God has given you a better touch for us today. David?
Hey, David.
And I pray, amen. Praise God.
Father God, lift your hands upon him and give him peace. Hang on. You talk.
All right, take your time. That's all right. This is live transmission, so we understand. Things are working for God. Ha ha. Praise the living God. My God, my God. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
There was a bride out here outside of the Capitol, and we're just blowing the horn out here.
Well, go ahead and interview some of the people around there. Interview them. They live on the radio. Interview them.
They're kind of busy just taking pictures right now. Here's Mr. David.
Okay.
I had to stop right in front of our car. There's a photo op. I thought it was a bride, and I asked them when the wedding was, and they kind of laughed, and they're just some kind of modeling or something. So the young lady is in a bridal outfit with balloons, and the other two ladies are taking pictures, and they got a little bridal bouquet. But anyway, so I blew them my ironic blessing anyway, and they just laughed and took pictures and enjoyed it. But the significance of this, I believe, is that we are in a jubilee time, as I was saying, and mm-hmm. we know that the coming of the bridegroom is – you know, it is imminent. We know in our time that there is a remnant. God said that if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray. And we know that that's going on. And we just thank the current administration, and we thank the evil in Congress. You know, that because of what the darkness is in our land, God's people are desperately praying. God's people are on their faces praying for this nation, for the world, for all the evil that is in the world. As the Middle East just continues to uncork into a potential maelstrom over there, and our leader talked about putting us in the middle of the self-destruction of Israel's enemies, we just look with anticipation to a loving Father God. He told us that he would not come again as a sacrificial lamb, but that he would come this time as a victorious conquering king. And he is good, and we're not, but in his forgiveness, in his mercy, he makes us good. He takes our sin and our blemishes and our darkness, and makes us like new. He makes us like new creatures.
Amen.
And, he is good. He is good.
We are
in a jubilee wedding time, and it's just so exciting what's going on right now in God's economy and in God's plan. I just want to encourage anyone who's listening that now is the time, if we've not bowed the knee and bent the head to the King of Kings, the Lamb of God, the King of Judah, the Lion of Judah,
the Lion
the
of
Son
Judah.
Of God. then it is time to recognize who he is and to rejoice in his prophecy, to rejoice in all of the feasts that announce his reality, that announce his glory, that announce his great love. He is the Passover lamb. He is the Shavuot, the spirit. He is the Kippur, the Yom Kippur. He is the atonement. Every one of the seven main feasts, and even the day of rest, is a picture, a biblical picture of who Jesus is. And
amen.
So that's what it's all about. And I just praise him right now. I lift up his name, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And we just let your word go out from this place, Lord, and let people know of your great love. Let them know of your resurrection power, Lord Jesus Christ. Let them know what you did on that cross, Lord God, for their sins and for my sins, Lord God. Let them know. Let them experience the washing of the blood of the Lamb. Let them experience the joy. A bus just went by us with a picture of a pregnant woman holding her belly. And there was a full-on picture on the side of a bus of a woman holding her belly, soon, very soon to be having a baby. I was advertising that thing for Blue Cross, Blue Shield or something. But understand, we've just seen a bride, and we've just seen a birthing with Robert and I as we travel through the city of Austin here tonight, trying to get back on the highway toward Houston. We just praise God for who he is, Lord. And, Father, we thank you for your son, and we thank you for giving him to us, for sharing him with us, for sending him 2,000 years ago to join us in this fallen world, Lord God, and that he would walk among us, that he would teach us, that he would heal, Lord God. And now we look forward to the healing that you're going to unleash on this nation, physical healing, Lord, and emotional healing, Lord, and spiritual healing, Lord. We're going to see your hand, Father, I believe, and we just thank you, Lord, that your children will not be harmed in the coming evil. Brother Willie, several years ago, I believe an angel appeared to me while I was blowing the shofar in a bus depot, and I know that the acoustics are good, and I blew there, and all of a sudden when I finished, I lowered the shofar, thanking God that I had a good session, and I opened my eyes, and next to me was standing a bus driver, and he said, "I have something to tell you." And I kind of looked at him with a raised eyebrow and said, "Oh, yeah? Well, what's that?" And he said, "These instruments have been given to those who are to announce the coming of Yeshua." And
Yeshua.
He used the name Yeshua. And then
Yeshua.
My right hand went up because I knew then that he did have something to share. And he shared three
Amen.
Things. That was the first thing was these instruments, these ram's horns, have been given to those. And millions, well, hundreds of thousands of men and women have picked them up around the world in this time. So these instruments have been given to those who are to announce the coming of Yeshua. Secondly, he said two things. He said, the children will not be harmed in the coming evil. The children of God will not be harmed in the coming perversion. And I've come to understand that that means that the body of Christ will be saved. The body of Christ, like Lot and Sodom, I don't know, like so many examples in the Bible, God saved in the time of Esther. God saved when things seemed impossible. God saved a nation. God saved a people. God saved his nation of Israel when it seemed impossible. And so, and also the second thing it means is that the children of abortion, the 60 million little children that we've taken in this country, and the roughly 1 billion children that have been taken by this horrible tragedy throughout the world, this horrible foolishness that we've been deceived with over the last 40 years, those children are just fine. Those children are around the throne of God, waiting to be restored to their mothers and fathers. And their mothers and fathers and grandmothers and uncles and aunts and grandfathers and siblings, they need to get ready to receive them into the family, because those relationships cannot be broken by men. Men can end a life. Men can incinerate remains. But men cannot end a spiritual being that God has created by his design. And so all these babies are just fine surrounding the throne of God, making some beautiful music. And when the people of this nation and this world realize that they need to give those babies names, they need to acknowledge those babies, and they need to be prepared to receive the forgiveness of those babies and the forgiveness of God and their own forgiveness, and then this world is going to explode with God's grace. That's what's going to happen to these children. So that's That's the second thing that the bus driver told me. And then finally, the third thing that the bus driver told me, he said, this sound is the sound of God's judgment. Now, what that means is that when you hear that sound, when the trump of God will sound, you will hear one of two things. Either you will hear joyful freedom, knowing that your judgment was taken on a cross at Calvary, and your heart will leap with joy to realize that all of your sin was paid for at Calvary, and there's nothing left that you have to do, but that your sin has not only been healed, it has been literally removed. It has been erased from the hard drive, and it never happened. It cannot have happened, because then you couldn't go to heaven. To be perfected in Christ means that everything is washed away by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
The blood of the cross of Calvary washes it completely away and never happened. You will not remember that in heaven. You will not be allowed to remember that in heaven. You will only remember the wonderful good things that God has provided. That's what heaven is all about. There are no tears and no remembrances in heaven other than the glory of God. Now, also, the other part of that is that the other part of that is to realize that some, and I believe actually it's many, and I believe actually it's a large majority, when they hear that trumpet sound, there will be a sheer terror in the realization that they themselves continue to carry the judgment of their sin, and that they will carry that judgment forevermore in a lake of fire. That sound will either be a joyful sound for you, or it will be a sound of terror. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can say, God, forgive me.
God,
I receive the gift of your Son. I receive,
yes,
I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. On Yeshua.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God, my God. And Father, as my brother was speaking, I just joined with him to say, Father, you're so merciful. You're so good. You love us so much that you sent your own Son, your only begotten Son, that if we believe in him, we shall not die but have eternal life. Lord, the words you've spoken to David, you bless the congregation, you bless the audience. You bless this entire world. Father, the words we send out, as you said, Jesus, our words are life. We speak life to a dying generation. We speak life to people who are out there in darkness. We speak life to those who are doing wrong, Father, according to the book. And Father, we just want to thank you for everything. We ask you to hold us with your right hand of righteousness and teach us to submit and commit to you, Holy Father, through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we love you today for all you have done. And while you're sitting right there at the right hand of Oshai, Yeshua, and I thank you. I ask you this day in your name, Jesus, that the Father will hear our prayer. The Father will answer David's prayer on the way from Austin back to Houston, that he will keep a watch over him, according to the book of Psalm 91, and then Psalm 91, and then 54, 55, I pray this day, Father, that you will watch over us all, Father. We desire to do your will. We desire in our hearts to lift your name above every name. We desire, Father, we desire for the anointing to fall upon us, Father, and the words that we heard, he's on his way back. He said, soon I will come. He'll be in the cloud, according to Matthew 25. And he shall come back with a great cloud of witnesses, his angel. And, Father, we want to thank you. We believe right now, Father, everything. We believe in your word. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe he can raise the dead. We believe he brought the children who were aborted back to heaven with him in a place called paradise. We believe your word, Father, because your word says, I was God when there was no God, and you're still God, and we love you for this. Thank you for it, Father. Give comfort for the Christian. Give to know that the only comfort we have is through Jesus Christ, the one who sits between hell and heaven. He can call us out of hell. Let us come on in heaven. Right in this earth realm right now, Father, we got two nations that are vying against each other. Power packs, I call them, Father. But you, Father, you got an angel who can just come down, named Gabriel, and he can do the pour to water. He can do what you said do, not what we desire. But we ask you to give us time, Father. Give David time. Give his rider time. Give me time. Give the believers more time to reach the unreached and to tell the untold, Father, and on that day and time. We just praise you today. We thank you today. Pray for pastors, Father. Pray for those pastors that love your shepherds. Love your people. Teach your people. Love them, Father. Don't abuse them. We thank you for the apostle who's going out helping to establish and move things forward. Thank you for the teachers, Father. Thank you for the have the quickening of the word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for him, Father. Thank you for the prophet, Father. Thank you for a word to speak in this hour. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the evangelists. Thank you, Father, all throughout the land, all throughout the country, all seven continents. I pray this day, as David makes his trip back to Houston, the arrival will be proper time. Angels, let the light from heaven shine on them. Watch them as they come through. And I thank you, Father, this time we have. We love you for it. It's in Jesus' name. Oh, we love you. Praise you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. How about the driver you with? You got a word you want to say on there?
Robert, hang on a second. Did you have a word to share, Robert? Robert's busy driving in heavy traffic. He's
all right,
been
well, I don't
all day. Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
we're gonna thank God. I guess
we're
about ready to sign off, huh?
Okay. Well, I mean, you got all the time all the way back to Houston.
We'll be driving, and we'll be thinking about you, Pastor Willie. And I just remember again that it was 4 years ago. We're in a Rosh Hashanah period right now. We're in between the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Yom Kippur. They're 10 days apart, and we're right in the middle. And things are happening. There's happenings going on in Washington. There's a million Muslims getting ready to march in Washington, D.C. On the 9/11. And there's 2 million bikers that are coming to meet them. And there's a whole lot of law enforcement that are coming with their uniforms and their guns to demand that Washington return to the Constitution. So there's a lot of exciting things going on in these days between Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of Yom Kippur. And so we just give God all the glory, and we just look to him to turn our nation. We ask for his will to be done in his kingdom to come. Lord God, we just close out now, Lord, with the name of Jesus above it all, praising you, thanking you for your son. Thank you for the blood of the cross. Just, Lord, heal our nation, we pray. Jesus, 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 amen.
Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for David being on. It's the same time tomorrow. God bless you.
Very good. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Praise the Lord. Well, God has been so good. God has been so good. David came on with a great word that he received from the Lord. My. Can we not say praise God? Amen. Here's what I want us to understand. Here's what I want us to believe. If we're going to serve God accordingly, we have got to surrender to him. Not to somebody else you heard, but surrender to him, to Jesus Christ. Because the Father is going to look for his son. He's going to look for the print. He's going to look for the print. He's going to, when he look and see and don't see the mark that we have, what Jesus left us, we're going to have to just understand. I want us to make it in. You know, I thank God for my grandson. I thank them very much. They're young men. They're growing. They're full of tenacity. They're full of the cheerness of God. They're doing what God wants done. And you know, it just blesses me. It blesses me to know that I know that my grandsons, you know, I tell everybody, I got some grandsons that God gave. They were not honored, they're expensive. I thank God for them expensive boys. But I know God is capable. And I will say to you, you love me. Stay in prayer for me. I call them the big boys. One name is Kobe. One name, Logan. And you know what? I love them. I thank God for them. You know, I meant to say, my son, his wife is going to have a, they discovered yesterday, you know, new technology, is going to have a boy. Hey, I'll be another grandpa. Amen. On the Hunter side. And I'm so glad that he's joyful. I'm joyful. And all I can say to you tonight, hey, stay proud of. I got you on the line with me. Some people are listening, some are not. But I want you to know something. God is always there. God is always there. And you know what I've learned? People that don't want to walk with God don't walk with him. Because the thinking is not solidifying what God wants done. And it's because they feel like what they're doing is better than what you're doing. And I want to let you know something. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a awesome God. Nobody can say anything. Hallelujah. 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 Nobody but God. Oh, glory. Praise the living God. Amen. Do you love God? Do you really love him? Do you really love him? I do. Because I still love God. You know what? I still love him. You're still breathing in God's air on this earth. And I'm still here. Even though some things went bad with me, but I saw God keep me. All I can say is to God be the glory. And like I said, God loved me so that he gave his only begotten son. Why? Because if I can believe what he did, paid the price for my sin, I'll live forever. I've accepted it. I believe. I'm not trying to go around and pick a fight. Don't want to be in a fight. The only fight I fight is the fight of faith. I fight the fight of faith. Whoosha. Whoosha. The fight of faith is why I would have everybody to be here. Stay with God as we continue this radio station. You know, I was talking about the people, about the angels. And you know, those are some powerful beings before God. And there are some people that don't have much they want to say. But I'm saying to you, you know, God has a great word. God has a great word for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, if you're ready, call me. 347-850-8955. Give a call. I want you to pray with me. I want to pray for you. I believe God has a blessing for you. He has a blessing for your family. If you're not married, God has a blessing for you as a single man or woman. If you're married, God has a blessing for the married man or woman. Has a blessing for your children. You know what the Bible says? It says, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, if I may say this, what I share, men do not bow down to a woman as if though she has all the rights. Neither the woman bow down to the man as if though he has all the rights. The only one we bow down is the Son of God and the living God who said what he said. He said he's coming back again. And you know what? Only thing I can tell you, I want to see you be right. Husbands, The Bible said men are supposed to love their children. Don't even provoke their children. See, but when children leave home, they've gotten married, they're able to do what they do, they got children, and they're over the age, and they have this, I am to continue for my seed to the hunter seed until the day I leave this world. It's also incumbent upon somebody else can do the same thing. But I say to you that I need prayer that God will enable us, me, to an account of what we're getting ready to go through with through the next year. We believe we're going to have a war that don't belong to us, but it's a war that God's going to fight. The battle, the word says, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. So I will say to you, listen to me. The battle is the Lord. It's not belong to me. I don't have to do no fighting. Do praying and praising and loving him and telling somebody how much God loves me. Tell them how much you love your wife. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much you want to be. Tell them how much you think what God can do. God is doing. Tell them. And I say this to you. If you love him, like you say you do, you're going to trust God. You're going to trust God. Because, see, God didn't win about. He took his only son, born in the spiritual arena, born in heaven, spoken by God. And he came down to this earth to give his life. I always say to a solitary like me. But God said, no. I love man. He had to find a way to get him back in because man violated. But it was because man wouldn't obey. And God knew that. So here we are standing right now. The body of Christ, I'm praying for them. I need to have 1 million-plus people to be listening on the radio so that we can let the world know, do I have any cowards out there? Hello? The people of God, the report came back, says, as they will go over to send the report back, they said, wait a minute, these are giants over there, and we can't fight them giants. It's much fruit, it's everything over there. That's what the 10 said. But the fruits of there, everything was good, But you know what happened? They just kept being themselves. I would say to them, amen. And if you see what God has said, then here's what God will say to them. And the two said, but wait, we're well able. We are well able. See, we got to say to ourselves, I am well able. I am well able. I'm well able to fight the fight, to fight the good fight, to do what God has called me to do. I'm well able. No. Come here. Hey, come here, Grandpa. I'm on the radio. Papa wants you to say something. Go ahead and say hello.
Hello?
Say hello. You haven't been playing football today?
Sure.
Oh, y'all did a great job today, huh?
Yeah, but we lost.
What happened?
We just,
y'all got lazy.
No, I mean, it was a good game. It's a team played from last year. We played them at the Super Bowl. We lost them bad last year. We lost them 14-0. But now, it was a coach game. We lost 6-12.
Okay, so y'all got to play them again?
Yeah, we're going to play them again.
Okay, I'm going to be there when y'all are there. I'm going to show y'all how to beat them.
We call the
Panthers. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, and y'all got to get faster. Y'all got to train more. Like I'm saying on the radio station here, this is my beloved son, that grandson. His name is Logan. What's your name, Logan?
Logan Spencer.
Logan, you know, all the grandma had a little name in there. Your daddy did, what? Logan Dwayne Spencer. And your grandfather's name is? Spencer.
Winston Spencer. Oh, my grandfather?
Yeah, your grandfather. Yeah, and I'm your grandfather by your mother. I am Brother Willie Hunter. But you know, it's a joy to know that my grandson is doing great. He's getting, I mean, here I am, I'm 6'2", this is a big boy. Woo! Jesus. How old are you? You assume me what, in October?
12.
12 years old. You assume me 12 years old. You know, this is something, this is a privilege to be able to talk with my grandson on the internet all over the world. And I believe he's an intelligent young man. He got good grades. You do have good grades, don't you? Definitely. All right, then. Well, they want, see, you have to let it be known to them that you can do what you can do with them and for them. Well, where's your brother?
He's in the front room.
In the front room? Did they play today?
Oh, no. He hasn't played. He didn't take away with him when he played school.
All right. What happened? He's still sick in there?
Huh?
Is he sick or something?
No.
Oh, tell me, come here. Sick. I want to hear both of you on the radio. Amen. These are my grandsons, and here I am, 6'11". They come in here 5'10", and 5 feet 10 inches. One is 5'11". They're still growing, weighing over 200 and some pounds. One weighs 260, and one weighs 248. So here I am. I'm weighing 268. I'm saying, if I don't watch myself, these boys making me feel. They making me feel pretty good. See, when I was young, I need to have somebody to teach me and love me and show me. God is capable. He's capable to do what he said he's going to do. And all God wants to do is let us know that we know that he know, because God is good. He's merciful. He takes charge throughout all things. What he does, he gives us a great, great place to do. God so loved us, and you know. Amen. Hey, how you doing, son? What's wrong? Come on in and talk. I turn the radio. You and my big granddaughter. I got my grandboys in the club. So I got Logan and I got Spencer, known as Kobe. Kobe. These are my both joyous grandsons. Well, I'm going to have me some grandson time now. Y'all going to church tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
And what y'all gonna talk about?
Talking about friends.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, see, my grandson, Kobe, he done got that. You done got cocky, got him a good haircut. He feel like he's somebody. You know how this you mean out there. But I'm telling them to keep their mind on God, because God is their protector. And my prayers are constantly that God keep them. And the only thing I can say, behold, we stand before a mighty God, and there is nobody but God. See, and God is so good. God does. See me on there. You see? God is so good. See ya? We're on there. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let me ask you this, fellas. Today was the day that your papa got up. Your old daddy got up. Where did he go? What do you say, Lord? Well, did y'all pray?
Yes.
All right. And that's why y'all didn't win.
No, we did pray. I don't know.
Like is the game closed good went anyway, so that
we prayed to God to keep us safe, make sure nobody got hurt.
Yeah. Okay.
But really messing up was they were gonna win, and the ref called. When they touch
him
back.
And I always told you, you got to watch the referee. Yeah. Because the referee like the devil. The referee can be like the devil. I watch things happen on, so I don't look at television too much after, so I've seen what I've seen. But I will say this, y'all got some friends out there that I speak to, they might be listening.
Maybe.
I'm your name.
Well, if I do, I want to say shout out.
Shout out. Okay.
Q.
You
know,
Kenny.
And, Black Duffy.
All right, Mr. Duffy.
And Hardy.
Jay Hardy, Trey.
All them, you know.
Yeah.
What about you?
I want to give a shout out. I'm not trying to waste my time. I just want to say, I want to shout out to Santos.
Santos.
Makai.
Makaya.
Freeman.
Freeman. Freeman.
And finally.
Finally.
Good shout to God.
Good shout to God. I love that God. I love it, Father. They have them. It's embedded in them. We're giving a shout to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just, y'all eat some good. What y'all do? Y'all eating already?
No.
Well, what y'all plan on eating later on?
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't know.
Where you want me? Where's your mother?
She,
where's she going?
Home.
Your daddy going to come with y'all? Y'all going to stay here? Huh?
My dad's at home too.
Oh, okay. Well, we praise God. It's so good to see my grandsons here. Y'all going to spend the night or what?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Remember that time we were talking about when we die, before Judgment Day, what
are our souls? Our souls go back to God.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when we're in the dirt, but I got in Judgment Day, we're supposed to, we're going to be decided where we're supposed to go.
Well, in that day, I got it in the book right here, so I can pull to the time we have on here. I can say this to you, that there was a time, grandsons, that when we die, our bodies will be turned, it says, from ashes to ashes, day to day. This body will return back to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It came from the earth, because we go back to the Bible in Genesis. When God created man, he created Adam. Adam came out of dirt. The woman came out of dirt. So dirt returned back to dirt. But when they became alive, God, he breathed on them the breath of life, and they became a living soul. Now, I don't know how God transformed that to every person that's alive. When a woman conceived a child, somehow or another God breathed and became a living soul. That's the part you're interested in getting saved. Because when your spirit, you have to bring your spirit under authority. And I will say this to make it more plain as I possibly can. We can take this piece of plastic and bury it for 100 years. It'll still be plastic. They got people, the mummies, they got them right now. You go see the bones are still there. 3,000 years. No man is there. No flesh, no blood. I'm making it, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when God shall come back, behold, I come back. It says the dead in Christ, listen to what I'm saying, the dead in Christ, I'm talking about for you, the dead in Christ shall live. That's in the book of Thessalonians. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive, see, right where we're standing, we don't know how many people died here. We don't know it. But according to God's word, the dead, their bodies are nothing but dust. Some will be in the ocean, some will be in the mountain, whatever, a lot of snow. We don't know. But the Bible says, the dead shall rise first, and we who are alive shall be what? Caught up. Together, we'll be caught up. And the Bible says that Jesus and the rapture. You can call it the rapture, a snatching away. You can call it with Jesus. Those who believe, and that's why I tell you, young man, you've got to believe God's word through his son, Jesus Christ. You've got to believe that no weapon I don't care what kind of weapon come after you, it can't prosper. I don't care what they say to you, can't prosper. But I can say this to you with the kindness of my heart to speak to you as my beloved grandson. Here's what I want to read in Psalm 103, verses 20. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the Lord, he is angel, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto his voice of the word, hearing his, the angels, are they spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Are they flesh?
Yes.
Nope, they're not flesh, they're spirit. Are they spirit, grandson? I'm talking to you. Spirit means what? Something you can't see, right? Can you see with your natural eye?
No.
But the angels can see with their natural eye. They're looking at us right now. We talk. Because in Psalm 91, the angels said, God has given his angels charge to watch over us. That's what the Bible says. And when God gives his charge of his angels to watch over us, I pray for y'all all the time. My whole family, my grandson, and mother, their father, my daughter-in-law, my son, grandson-to-be, my son, my wife, your mother, and all. But I say this because I say, we pray that God will keep us in this last hour. Because you know and I know that even right now they're raising the roof about fighting over in the Middle East, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it should happen?
Go on, you say
something. Okay, what do you say? What do you say about it, big man?
All I gotta say is, you know, Barack Obama needs to watch what he's doing because, you know, Syria has a lot of connections with Russia,
China,
you know. China, Russia, China come up in there. We trying to screw the UK. So they ain't want to be a part of this.
I think the
world
say they
want to
be a part of this.
Okay, guys, keep it going. Come on, let's talk.
Let's talk. Talking about the allies, you and the United States, allies, they ain't really want to do that. I'm just saying, Barack Obama got to think about us when he's going over there because of all they had to do was think it's an act of war. Something go down, and it's after war, and you know it's possible to make another World War III. And how you know Russia, who has more bombs than the United States?
No, they don't.
They have more people.
No, they don't. They have more people.
Not more bombs.
No. Let me encourage you, grandson, to let you know. We are one of the most powerful nations in the world. You know why we're powerful? You know what we got? Some of the things got what our Russians don't have because we have God on our side.
Russians do believe in God.
No, they don't.
They believe in
voodoo. They believe in idols. They believe in
some of them. Do.
Some of them. But I'm letting you know, America has 50 United States. You got people that don't believe, but you got people that believe. Some people we can help, grandson. They go in hell for eternity. Ain't nothing we can do. It could be your grandpa if I don't live right. I'm going to hell if I don't live right. Ain't no sense in me begging. Can you tell them, Lord, can you go tell Jesus? No, I got to do it for myself. America has to have a strong mentality. America must have a strong educational attitude. America must have a strong vice of God. It's called love. Do you not think those people are in the Middle East? Do you not know that the Bible says in Psalm 89, if they attack Israel, this whole world is going to be, God got some powerful angels. I'm going to ask God one night to let some angels appear unto you. You know angels are bigger than y'all are, and I am. When you read the book, one man in the Old Testament read it and said, he said when he saw an angel standing with a sword in his hand, that's God's angel called Gabriel. When Gabriel come on the scene, it's war. And they don't ask you. You can say, Gabriel, please don't do this thing. Watch out. His big sword. And so it's like that. That's why I want you to put some fear of God in your heart. Not that I'm trying, huh? I know, but not that I'm trying to suppress you. to think this. Oh, my, hold on. Not that I'm trying to thank you to suppress, but hold on. Get this on. Get it on here, because one of the things that I want my grandson to know, one thing I want to tell him to know is y'all. Grandpa love y'all. He thank God for you. And I keep saying to you, the more you pray, the more God will be on your side. The more you can do what God wants you to do. Hello, you online? Are you there?
Well, hello, God bless you.
Amen. How's everything going?
Everything is great. Good afternoon, radio listening audience.
Amen. You know what? I praise God. I got my grandson to this evening. We've been on the radio together. Amen, amen. My grandson, the big boys. Big boys, I tell them, the big boys. Well, tell me what you're doing, prophetess.
Amen. Train up a child in the way that they should go. When they're older, they should not depart from it. And, you know, it's so important to have that solid foundation, that solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. And that's the best answer, and it's the only answer for the world today. Jesus and more Jesus. And we have to teach our young folks. They're the next generation. Those are the ones that's going to lead the way. So I bless the Lord for them being on the radio tonight. God bless you, young man.
Thank you.
Did you hear him?
Yes.
Hey, big boy, you talk about me, big E-boys are big. I know they said, Lord, I have to keep me a prayer line over because these boys, and they was asking me a question about my youngest one. He was saying, ask her that question, see what else you get.
Whenever you die, where does your soul go? I mean, before judgment day, you know, because if you do go to heaven, do you stay there until judgment day or what?
To be absent from the body is to be present with God.
Okay, you remember me saying that?
Yes.
Yes. Now, what's the next question?
The one about Obama?
Yeah.
We were just discussing about what do you think Obama should do about the Civil War? Because he was thinking about joint.
Hold up, look, you're talking about that Syria was going on with all that bomb stuff, but they have now a Civil War. They just... United States going over there. I don't know the whole thing about it, but I just know.
But do you think Obama should get involved in it, or America should get involved in it? Because UK and all of our allies have backed away from it.
Well, amen. Well, what we have to realize is that we have a government for this land, and we also have a government for this world. And it tells us, and to us a sign is given, and to us a child is born, and the government should be upon his shoulder, and his sheet shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, which is Christ Jesus. And as the commander in chief of the United States, yes, he has a major part to play in that, but we are to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit, guided by God. And we should get our instructions from him.
Okay.
You know, the word, you know, it tells us in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, my people, which was called by my name, would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face. Then I shall hear from heaven, and I shall heal the land. And that's what also President Obama must do. He must seek the face of God. Only God can save us. Only God can heal this land. The land are we, the people.
Amen. Ah, amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Any other questions? Y'all know?
We're good.
Well, I mean, we got time to be on the rhythm, worry about that. Any other questions you want to know?
I do got one.
Come on and come up closer. Can I come up where you sit? Where you sit? Come up to the down. Sit down and sit down. Give me a chair with that grandson.
Okay. I just have one little question.
Go ahead.
How you handle against some people when they try to have that you know, that macho act, and you know that you try to stay humble and you're not trying to mess around with them, but they keep nagging at you, coming at you, you know, starting something. How are you able to keep yourself from not going that path, but not also going around and telling everybody, teaching everybody to look like you're scared or something, like you can't handle your
How do you handle it on your own?
Yeah, how you handle it?
Did you hear that?
First of all, the word tells us over in the book of James, it tells us to humble ourselves before the Lord God. And it also tells us to submit ourselves unto the Lord and resist the devil, and he shall flee.
Amen.
Okay.
Hello?
Amen. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. Prayer changes things. And that's why I started off, you know, when I found out you guys was on the radio, you know, training up in a child in the way that it should go. And when you're older, you should not depart from it. And the word also tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, and even though, you know, we have people, and we do, we have our adversaries, we have our enemies, they're going to come and they're going to try you, like you said, bully. You know, they're going to try you all the time. But if you put prayer on whatever situation you're in, the word tells us over in Exodus that God said, I will fight for you. And he's already fought every battle. Don't you know it tells us in the book of Romans that you were predestined? He knew you before you was even in your mama's womb. So he know everything that you're going to encounter. And the best answer in the solution is, I started off saying, Jesus. Jesus is the answer to every problem, every situation that any of us could ever face in our lives. And we must give it all to Jesus. Now, sometimes you're going to have to, like you said, when they don't want to stop, you just have to stand toe to toe. The word tells us the kingdom of God, some of our violence, but take it back by force. That don't mean, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, he always preached no violence, no violence, no violence. Now, did he not show up at a fight? Oh, yeah. He showed up at every fight. But he still stood on what he meant. He stood on no violence, and that's what he did, no violence. So that's what we have to make up in our minds also, is that we're going to stand on the word of God. The word tells us when the enemy comes in like a flood, God should raise up a standard. We should have a standard as well. We should have a standard. You know, even though I know these bullies, I know they're real, and I know they're going to come and try me, but you know what? Man, I ain't fighting you. Man, I love you. You know, and when do they try you? They try to try you in front of a whole group of people and others, and they try to make themselves feel inferior to you. But I tell you, I promise you, you tell them in front of a group of people, man, I ain't fighting you. I love you. You know, Rodney King, and I don't know if y'all ever heard of him, but he said it best, can we all just get along? And no, everybody's not going to get along, but I tell you one thing, when you set a standard, guess what? They ain't going to come messing with you no more.
True.
They're going to say, he ain't going to fight you. He ain't going to fight you. He ain't going to fight you, and you don't have to fight. God has fought your battle. He's fought your battle. He knows everything. And that's what, all of us, not just our grandkids, but everybody, we need to understand that God has fought every battle for us. The word tells us, even when Jesus Christ was tempted, he said, "For it is written." And that's what we got to do. We got to get the word of God in us, and we got to apply the word of God to whatever situation that comes in our lives. It is written. Satan, get thee behind me. It is written. We cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yeah, I'm going to get it so it's going to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And listen to the radio audience. Stand up for holiness. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for the truth. The truth shall prevail. God said in his word, upon this rock I shall build this church, and no gates of hell shall prevail.
Amen. You hear that, fellas?
Yes.
All right. Amen. You got another question you want to ask? Ask it.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Go ahead.
Have y'all submitted and committed and asked the Lord Jesus to be y'all Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And that's where it all starts at, right there. We got to enter into a relationship. How can somebody protect you if you don't know them, if you're not in a relationship with them? You know, just like you got your mom and you got your dad, and you could come home from school or wherever that somebody's done offended you, and you could tell your mom and your dad about it. What'd they do? They call the school. I want to set an appointment with your teacher, with the counselor, with the principal. And they go in and they resolve the matter. And that's the same thing with God. When the enemy come in trying to mess with his kids, guess what? God steps in. God steps in. You're picking on the wrong one. That's my son. That's my son. You can't mess with him.
Amen. Amen.
What God does with us, he protects us. He shields us. And you know what? And when you do good, you follow all the rules and regulations that your mom and your dad done said. Guess what? Now you get a reward. You get a reward. You come home with A's and B's on your report card, and sometimes you come home with straight A's. You get rewarded for good behavior. You get rewarded for doing the things that you know to do this right. And that's the same thing with God. When we do right, when we seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and he says, I'm a rewarder. I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. We got to learn how to seek God diligently. You know, we all of us got an assignment. You know, y'all think y'all the only one got assignments because y'all in school? Everybody that's in this world got an assignment. Whether they fulfill it or not, it's up to them. But God has set purpose and he has set destiny for each and every one of us to carry out on this earth until his return. You know what he says in his word? He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never. It is doers forever. So whatever God has spoken, whatever God has said, believe me, it shall come to pass.
It shall.
It shall come to pass. God is not a God that he should not lie, nor a son of man shall he repent, and if he said it, shall he not do it? God said, my arm's not waxed too short. I'm the one that stretched out the heaven and the earth. God did it. You know,
yes,
in the beginning,
did.
You know, in the beginning, when he created the heaven and the earth,
yes.
when he created the waters and he created the land, what did he do? He spoke it into existence. Don't you know in the beginning it says, I think in verse 2, it says that God's spirit moved upon the waters. We have always had the Spirit of God. But did we ever recognize that God was always with us? No, we didn't. Because we didn't understand. We thinking and we waited for this Holy Spirit to come back over in Matthew's when Jesus Christ said, I go away and I'm gonna send you back a comforter. But God's Spirit has always been upon the land. When he spoke in the beginning in chapter one in verse 2, God's Spirit moved upon the waters. Hallelujah, yes. Jesus. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, God's so loving, he's so kind, and he's so merciful. He said, let me show y'all. Let me show y'all as a father figure. Let me show y'all how loving, kind that I am. Let me show you how gentle, how merciful I am. Let me show you my grace. And that's what God did when he sent his son. He sent his son to save each and every one of us because he said, oh, these laws that I have made, you know, that I told Moses to bring down to y'all just keep breaking them. But let me show y'all somebody that can fulfill them. Let me show you somebody that loved me so much, and I'm so gentle, and I'm so merciful.
See, we can talk. Amen.
And fulfill. You know what tells old Elvis over in Matthew? It says, if your eye offends somebody, pluck it out. If your hand offends somebody, cut it off. Don't you know now all you got to do is ask God to forgive you because of who? Because the blood of Jesus. You can't fulfill that. You can't pluck your eye out now. You can't cut your arm off now. But you can ask God because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. You know, back in the Old Testament, how they had to sacrifice and offer up offerings unto God, these burnt offerings. You got to go get an ox for this and a lamb for this and a sheep for this. And you got to bring it before God. But to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And you know what? Hallelujah. And we don't have to wait for nobody else for us to enter into the presence of God. You know what it did? He did away with dispensation. He did away with it when he sent his son Jesus. Don't you know, babies? And don't you know, radio listen land, it was a time that we couldn't even worship God. Do y'all not know that? That's what Paul gave me in the book of Romans in chapter 12, verse 1, to offer your bodies up as holy, living sacrifice that's acceptable to God. Acceptable service to God. That means to worship God. We couldn't even worship God. You know, the high priest had to go, and he had prepared the temple for to go in to worship, and then the other priests had to prepare the temple to go in to worship. We couldn't even go in the temple to worship God, but because he sent his son Jesus to throw away with
Amen.
Him, you know what? We ain't got to wait to build no church. We ain't got to wait to build no temple. Babies, where you at, and everybody that's on the radio line, you can lift up the name Jesus right there where you at right now. If you want to lift up Jesus in your car, you can lift up Jesus. If you want to lift up Jesus in your living room, you can lift up Jesus. If you want to lift up Jesus in your dining room, you can lift up the name Jesus because you are the temple. Your body is the temple of God. And he dwells in you now.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. And we bless his name. Hallelujah. If it had not been for Jesus, if it had not been for the love that God had for us, we couldn't even worship him.
Amen.
And you know why you know why God was so loving? Because, you know, he had his chosen people, the Jews. The Jews wouldn't even worship him. They wouldn't even acknowledge God. But the Gentiles came along, and they wanted to know more and more about this God, this loving God, this Savior. Hallelujah. So God had to offer his son. I tell you what a mighty God we serve. What a loving God we serve. Jesus Christ paid the price. Why would we not serve him? Why would we not worship him? Why would we not lift up holy hands unto him? Why would we not offer ourselves? Now, he offered himself up as a holy living sacrifice for us. Why would we not offer ourselves up as holy living sacrifices back to him?
Amen.
It was freely given to you, freely given away. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Glory be to his name. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? You blessed my young boys tonight, and I want to thank God for you. But all I want to do is tell you this. The Lord bless you for this. The words so deep into that thinking because they were listening what is being said. And here she's talking to you from Georgia and we in Texas. Somebody from Ohio and we in Texas. I'm letting them show the importance of communication viably. But I thank you. Amen. Hello. Hello.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to say this to you before we go off, that God has been so good to us, and I thank God. But there's some things I want to apprise you of what we're going to do. So until next time, remember these words. We walk by faith and not by sight. Shalom, shalom. May God bless you and me, okay?
Amen. God bless. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You have a blessed day. Okay. Well, Grandma is saying something about her now. Okay. Can we have people?
Yeah. You can order it.
Yeah, they bring it.
They'll bring it.
They'll bring
it. Yeah. And then they have those little chains where you have, and so many minutes they have to bring it. So most people do, it's so they'll wait.
Yeah.
They'll wait, like, let's say you have 5 minutes or 2 minutes of this, and they before they're going to come in.
Yeah.
They'll close, they'll lock the door and wait, and they'll answer it to this time.
Okay, call.
Yeah, I'll call them. I ain't going to call them. They're going to know. I don't know. I do. Yeah.
And you got no money?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
What's the number?
I don't know. Give me one water so she can see.
Well, you don't have the number.
No, I don't have the number. I'm not going to tell you no lie.
Well, I'm going to call.